I think every team realistically would be speaking about. I've always said that unless I felt drunk over in All-Ireland, I wouldn't play because the sacrifices are just too high.
OTB AM live weekday mornings from 7:30 on the OTB Sports app.
OTB AM with Gillette. Put your best face forward with our new and improved razors.
Some of these critics, these pundits.
I absolutely adore them, lads. I have unbelievable time for them, but they're a great bunch, but it's not acceptable.
They like to play the hard man when they're on it. It's not very pleasant when you're trying to manage a team. All you're looking for is a bit of civility and a bit of decency, but they just dismiss you like you know, you have nothing to do with the bloody occasion.
Going to do a recap from 16 to 1 today. Is that fair enough?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So let me know when to stop here because my pacing has been an issue over the last few weeks, I think it's fair to say. I wanted to get this thing out of the way and done and dusted with as quickly as possible.
That's not how you sell an item. This is going to be the most exciting power rankings of all time. That's how you sell this stuff, Owen. Now, I'm bored by this because I hate my life.
No, that was only the last 2 weeks. Today I'm excited by it.
Okay.
You know, I'm listing off 16.
You were totally wrong. You were totally wrong. You like the bookmakers, had Tyrone at about 16 to 1. Tyrone was 16 to 1 before the semi-finals, everybody.
Yeah, and the thing is, if you're going to go for the 7-1 on the semi-final, you may as well have gone the full 16-1 because you knew that they were going to be playing Mayo in the final rather than the other one not being played. So, I mean, it should have, could have, would have. It goes for a lot of these counties. Number 16 is Offaly. Number 15 is Westmeath. Number 14 is Cork. Don't ask me to give reasons for all of these. This is like last month's reasoning. Number 14 is Cork. Number 13 is Clare. Number 12 is Derry. Number 11 is Roscommon into the top 10. And number,
I think you're going to be moving Derry up. I think Derry have the potential to make the first page next year.
I think so too. I absolutely think that, and I think they could.
Young Toehold's back.
Yes, and possible back-to-back promotions for them as well. I wouldn't be surprised to see the good times coming back for them. Roscommon at number 11, Kildare at number 10, Meath at number 9. Kildare are another one who should be flirting with the top page consistently.
Kildare, look, in terms of, so I think culture is important. I know it's the buzzword of the weekend, but the culture has to be right, and I don't think the culture's right in Kerry at the moment. I think that statement suggests that there's something wrong, that the long term planning isn't there, that the long term vision isn't there. However you're putting out a holding statement, they've done that wrong. Whatever they're trying to communicate has not been communicated beyond it was interesting to hear Paddy Andrews speculating that he thinks it's a done deal, essentially. Now, that was last night. Who knows what everybody feels this morning? And my conspiracy theory about Peter Keane perhaps actually saying, yeah, flush these people out so I don't have to listen to their nonsense and their bullshit for the next year or 2 years. I don't know.
Yep, it'd be a brave, smart move. At number 8 is Armagh. At number 7 is Galway. And I don't know, Galway came to my mind over the last couple of days because when you look at what Tyrone have done, like, you look at that 2018 season as a whole, Tyrone managed to come back from being beaten relatively comfortably by Dublin in that All-Ireland final to winning this year's All-Ireland. Galway were beaten, I don't know the margins off the top of my head, I should have looked this up, but it did feel like a very similar game. Like, I know, didn't Galway miss an early penalty? I know Comer scored a brilliant
against Dublin, in the
semi-final. That was Dublin's semi-final pass was Galway then Tyrone
in 2018.
And it just feels like
24-212.
Okay, right. It was an absolute hockeying. Tyrone definitely got within a closer margin in the final that year. Okay, so maybe this point is a little bit off the mark, but it feels like Tyrone and Galway in 2018 weren't a million miles away from one another.
217-114 was the final, but it felt like Dublin eased up.
It did.
We've 20 minutes left to go here. This game's over. Let's just play keep all.
But the improvement that Tyrone have made from that point to this point is something that Galway can absolutely look at. And, I mean, they've made their managerial change since 2018 as well.
They
were flying before the pandemic.
Is that working out? In your view, is what we've seen from Galway under Pádraig Joyce better than what we've seen before that? Like, they've thrilled a bit more. Their attacking play seems to be better in patches. But that second half collapse against this Mayo team this year was flaky.
And also the way they failed to take advantage of a little bit of a Mayo collapse in last year's championship match as well. like next year is a huge year for Pádraig Joyce because things will be back to a relative case of normal. And when things were last normal, Galway were flying. Galway were the top team in football before things went to crap early last year. So next year is a massive year for that county, and they'll definitely be one of those looking at Tyrone saying we can do that. And same goes for Monaghan, who are in at number six. And the team who would probably regret it most from Ulster is Donegal, who are in at five. Not only do they think that they can do what Tyrone did, they feel that they're better than Tyrone, I suspect.
I think this year's championship, you know, every county has a championship that they look back on and go, ah, in retrospect, that was our time. For Kildare, it's 2010. I think Monaghan are going to look back on this year that's just happened and gone, oh, we still had McManus shooting the lights out. We have a bunch of young players who are coming through. We could have beaten Tyrone, really, if we'd like not given them such a massive lead.
Yeah.
And even then, we almost still beat them. Like,
the Tyrone in the All-Ireland is agonising for a lot of people who they came up against this year. They edged out so many close games, and that's just going to leave a whole pile of regret for a lot of these counties. Now, Tyrone did have something that maybe Donegal and Monaghan don't have quite yet, which was the staying power to go all the way through and actually beat Kerry and Mayo on the way through. I'm not convinced Donegal and Monaghan would have done that, beaten both teams, but Tyrone obviously proved that they have the quality and the staying power to do that. And maybe we just underrated them throughout the early stages of the championship, and they peaked at a perfect time, even like before COVID. We were saying that, and I know we're sharing a clip of Aisling O'Reilly actually predicting Tyrone could win the All-Ireland after one of the Ulster games. Like, so that there was definitely that sense beforehand that they were cresting to their peak at a perfect time. Number four is Dublin. Number three is Mayo.
What?
Number two is Kerry. And number one is Tyrone.
Okay. So you've taken the form line from the semi-final where Mayo beat Dublin, and you're keeping Mayo ahead of Dublin, even yeah. though Mayo collapsed in the last 20 minutes of an All-Ireland final in the way that we know that if Dublin, even on their last legs, this Dublin team would not have collapsed that way.
And they collapsed in the last 20 minutes against Mayo.
Well, did they though? Like, they...
They did. Dublin collapsed against Mayo.
Okay, it's kind of hard to argue.
They definitely did. It's why I think Dublin will absolutely be back next year once they...
But they're fourth. They've fallen to fourth.
Yeah, these are power rankings. This is reactive. This is not so much... We can do a predictive power rankings. We can predict how things will go maybe in a few weeks' time or in a few months' time before next season kicks into gear. But I think on a whole, at the end of the day, Dublin were the fourth best team in this year's championship. I feel. That's my opinion. I think Mayo were the third best team. And I think in hindsight, having seen Tyrone up against Mayo and Kerry, I think Kerry were the second best team in this year's championship.
Actually, you know what? Dublin just need to suck it up. They played really badly in that semi-final. They played really badly in that third quarter against Meath. The stuff that we saw in the first half against Mayo was so good that just gives me a little bit of pause for thought. I don't understand how the first half performance and the second half performance can coexist.
It doesn't
make any sense to me.
I was the one who was here predicting Dublin would hammer Mayo that day. I just thought that performance was coming, and it did come. And then all of a sudden disappeared and actually went the opposite way, where their goalkeeper and one of their cornerbacks are playing 1-2s inside their own small parallelogram. None of that game makes any sense, and it is why I think that there is still a little bit of the freakish pandemic sports nature to this year's championship, to a point. Tyrone, of course, fully deserving winners, but there was a COVID pause right in the middle of it, so that is literally evidence of there being a freakish pandemic nature to this year's championship. I think there will be more of a resumption of predictable outcomes potentially next year. I do think football is going in a great place, and I don't think Dublin will be as dominant as they were before, but I think they can definitely win next year's All-Ireland.
Okay, and Kerry definitely number two, irrespective of who the manager is, if it's Jack O'Connor, if it's Eamon Fitzmaurice, if it's Seamus Moynihan, if it's Donaghy.
See, that's a very tricky question. I'm putting Kerry in at number two here with Peter Keane. So that's the assumption that I've made over the last few weeks, that he will be Kerry manager. I've completely changed that assumption now. I actually am now assuming that he won't be Kerry manager. I think if Jack O'Connor's there, I would also be keeping him at number two. I think Jack O'Connor, Peter Keane, I don't think one of those managers is going to make a massive difference compared to the other guy, to be quite honest. So.
Right, so it's swapping in one manager for another. It's the quality of the players, it's the production line and the talent that makes them automatic number two. Are you putting an asterisk beside Tyrone's victory there when you're talking about the pandemic and the COVID?
No.
Are you somehow...
That way you'd have to take away Kerry's joint league title this year, which I'm not prepared to give up.
I mean, what you've just
They're half champions of a national championship.
A lot of people, when we put those words down in cold black and white on the internet, Owen, and we tag you in the tweet,
I know,
people will get angry.
I know they will. I'm well experienced in this manner. And please be kind, social team.
I think we need to keep pointing out the ghosts of Tyrone winning this year will echo down the ages for Kerry people. It brings back to the fore the proof that Tyrone's football culture in the noughties was superior to Kerry's, that they were the team of that decade, and they now have started out this decade, and they're going to be the team of this decade too. And it's sickening because Kerry have never been the team of any decade.
I've just got a text in here from
the 80s.
I've got a text in here from Damien Harvey, who we had on the show last Friday. He said he deliberately placed us first to antagonise us. That's all the motivation we need now. Talk about a county who are like creating
that's the chip
motivation
they needed.
Out of absolutely nothing. Like, I mean, it was actually inspirational listening. Like, here's the thing. I mean, Niall Morgan said to us yesterday morning that he was reading all the stuff said about him after the semi-final. Like, what everybody says is you put the phone away, you don't read anything, especially late in the season. But they were reading reaction to them in the aftermath of the semi-final before the final. That is extraordinary. Now, maybe somebody else is like going through everything and saying, right, we need to get this to Niall or something like that. Maybe there's a process involved in that. And
well, that's what the Irish rugby team used to do under Joe Schmidt. They would get the clippings and then they would decide which bits they were going to use. I mean, we saw that. We saw that Rob Kearney in his book was talking about doing his cummiskies after training to, like, he was using the Irish Times rugby journalist Gavin Cummiskey as inspiration. It didn't work. They still didn't win a quarterfinal of the World Cup.
No, but it's interesting though, because like that was definitely a real critique of Tyrone in the semi-final, was that Morgan's kickouts didn't work. It was like Kerry won that battle and they still lost the game, and it's just interesting how that was very much part of his thinking going into the final.
Yeah, he was just doing his job, and it turned out that was the right job in the final as well. I want to tell you about this. Okay, so that's this week's power rankings. Is that the power rankings done for the year, or maybe when Kerry get a new manager we'll revisit?
Yeah, we might do a predictive one later on.
Or if Paul Mannion comes back.
Or if Paul Mannion comes back, or if Jack McCaffrey comes back, or if Cluxton comes back. I think if that happens, we'll have to do an emergency 2022 power rankings.
Okay, that's a promise. That's the power rankings.
I absolutely adore them lads. I have unbelievable time for them, but they're a great bunch, but it's not acceptable.
OTB AM. With Gillette, put your best face forward with our new and improved razors.